do have nurses full time now, and you know, and that changes the health in the community. You know, we had a doctor that came in, you know, 1.5 days a month seeing 80 people. Think of the time that they're getting with the doctor. You work it out, it's like 4 minutes per patient. So now, I mean, okay, now I have a doctor that comes in 3 days a month. But, I mean, it sounds like, oh, that's 3 days. Well, that's not much. But you know what? It's double than what we had.
There's also a lack of awareness of the challenges in a remote and isolated community. It's very difficult, I think, for people in more urban centers to really understand what the realities are like on a day-to-day basis in those communities, unless they actually go there and visit. And, you know, in a smaller village, in my experience, if you really want to understand and you really want to engage, you really have to show that you're willing to make the trip. And not only just fly in there, actually likely drive in there.
The city nearest to Kwadacha Nation territory in northern British Columbia is an 8 to 10 hour drive away along a rough logging road. Being in such a remote location brings with it a host of public health concerns, beginning with access to adequate medical and dental services. The Kwadacha Nation leadership has worked hard to meet these needs, seeking to preserve a traditional lifestyle while taking advantage of modern innovations that improve the nation's quality of life. It's a tricky balance, and it calls for a great deal of consultation with the community. Eileen Ruth, Director of Health Services for the Kwadacha Nation, explains the rationale behind this collective approach.
The community is completely involved with all the projects that go on in the community. We have chief and council and director meetings at first Tuesday of every month. Then we meet with the elders that same week, and we'll have a community dinner and meeting also in that month. And then the chief usually sits in with the elders committee and goes over everything that we went over in our meetings. And then we'll have a band meeting in the evening or a dinner, and we'll go over and discuss everything that's happening in the community, what the community thinks of it, and everyone knows what's happening. It's got to be the whole community that determines who they want in their community, how they want their programs run. And when it comes like to health and mental health, it's like, you know, what do you want to see as a community member? Like, what do you think is important? And, you know, it could come from a kid, you know, a five-year-old saying, well, I want a playground. Or it can come to an elder saying, you know, we need more counselors. We need to, you know, get rid of the past and move on to the future. So it's stemming everything together, making the community healthy.
Being so far removed from services, the community's health depends on its cohesiveness. Everyone is expected to pitch in, so everyone has a say. To help people deepen their connections to each other and to their traditional way of life, the leadership organized a month-long camp in an even more remote location, accessible only by boat. Eileen Ruth.
Usually there was around in between 60 to 80 people there at all times. We had our cooks up there and the community involvement. We did it as a youth and elders and justice camp. We kind of put everything together. So we had counselors in camp, talking circles, learning circles, learning traditional ways, like, doing your moose hides and, you know, dry meat. It was just amazing to see the elders, the youth, the kids running and having fun. The elders, they didn't want to come back. They just wanted to stay.
The Kwadacha Nation is building a new health and wellness clinic that will house clinicians, visiting professionals, and, in a separate wing, the band's administrative offices. Paul Coppard, coordinator of the Finlay Health Hub, which serves the Kwadacha and Seka Dene Nations, says the construction project points to a better health outlook for the community.
Before, there was a crisis response approach that was based simply on the fact that the access to the services was very limited. So, you know, teeth would decay severely before they were addressed, or health issues would deteriorate quite a bit before people would then be shipped to the city for care. Now, a system of preventive care, primary care supports are being implemented into the community. And I know, based on evidence, that that's going to go a very long way to stabilizing and supporting the community to continue to move on its self-directed path to health.
With so many health needs to meet on a very limited budget, it's tempting to latch on to any initiative that comes with federal money attached. But Eileen Ruth says she isn't interested in short-term solutions. The Quadacha Nation wants its health priorities to determine the funding, not the other way around.
I don't like to rush programs into the community. You don't want the Band-Aid. You want the total fix. You know, you want something that's going to be there for years, not something that's going to be there for, oh, you know, 1 year or 2 years, and then all of a sudden it's pulled away. We have to make sure that this is going to be sustained. You want your professionals there all the time. And like, to me, that's important. To me, it's important to have to say, yes, we do have a doctor. Yes, we do have a dentist. You know, yes, we do have nurses, the nurse practitioner or gynecologist, all this sort of thing coming into community continually.
On October 1st, 2013, the First Nations Health Authority assumed responsibility for managing health care for 150,000 Aboriginal people across British Columbia. Paul Coppard says the high level of community engagement in Quadacha and neighboring nations means that the members' health concerns will be clearly articulated to the health authority.
Now the First Nations Health Authority is looking at regional priorities. We can speak with, I think, quite a bit of conviction and clarity around what the communities have identified as being important to them at that level, all the way from children, all the way up to the elders. And that's quite rare, I think. And it's taken many years and many dinners and gatherings and just sitting down at tables with people, talking to people outside the general store to be able to come to that place of having that level of understanding of what the community wants to see.
To build a sustainable healthcare system that aligns with the community's needs, the Quadacha Nation is making a concerted effort to train its members in the health professions. By increasing its own capacity to treat itself, the community can lessen its dependence on outside service providers. For now, Paul Coppard says the Quadacha Nation will need both.
There are fundamentally essential services that need to be in place in the community. You can't ship people out to get that level of service. A, it's too costly, because to get people medevaced from the community out to the city and back again, the flight alone is well over $600. To bring one person in with the skills is a lot more cost efficient. There's also that goes along with a real understanding that the solutions lie within. Building strength from within is a priority. And at the end of the day, a long-term plan will build skills with those that will be in the community 10, 15, 20, you know, 100 years from now. So that is where the skill development piece becomes so critical. And also having those community members complement those nurse practitioners, Health Canada nurses, whoever else is coming in to provide those professional health supports. Combine those two and you have the best of both worlds.
Having the best of both worlds might be the most apt description of the Quadacha Nation's effort to sustain traditional ways through modern innovation. The nation's leadership earnestly consulted with members to understand what they consider fundamental to a healthy, happy life. And by joining up with other nations in the region, Quadacha members have been able to lobby for support they may not otherwise have received. Someday, the community hopes to rely solely on its own capacity. Until that day arrives, Eileen Ruth and her colleagues will continue to do whatever it takes to get the help their small, remote community needs.
I truly believe that you don't stop. If someone says, no, you can't have a doctor in your community, well, you tell me why I can't have a doctor and give me the reasons, then I can fix those reasons and then come back to you and say, okay, now, why can't I have a doctor? Just don't stop.